Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Great to have you with me here on this Friday, December the 15th. You know, Christmas is coming, and I cannot think of a better time to talk about the love of God than during Christmas season, or what our more liturgical friends call Advent season, the season of the coming of the Lord. I'm so praying for all of us this season that we will have Christ formed in our hearts afresh, that there will be a fresh birth, so to speak, or a rebirth or a rekindling of the love of God in our souls, so that especially through the holidays, we are able to love people without a straining human effort, but with a real flow of the love of God, which the Bible says is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's make that our prayer in the coming weeks. We're 10 days out from Christmas Day. Let's make it our prayer that the love of God will flow in our lives and be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh work of the Holy Spirit to help us love. It's astonishing how much depression and tension there is over the holidays. What if God was given an opportunity by our prayers and an openness of our hearts to rekindle a love of God that would transform our families and leave us forever changed? I want to pray for that, because that really is the meaning of Christmas. That really is the meaning of the coming of the Christ. Listen, let's get right to it. Derek can do a better job with this than I can. Let's listen to Derek Prince talk about the love of God.
I want to begin with a passage from the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John 4:16. And I'm going to read it in two translations so that we can get as far as possible the full impact of what the Bible is saying to us through this verse. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And then the other version, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. You see, one version there says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. The other says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. The point that I want to bring out is that it's one thing to know intellectually, theoretically, maybe out of scripture or out of a sermon, about the love of God. But it's something quite different to believe it, or, as the other version says, to rely on it. I want to make it clear to you that there's a step beyond knowing. It's believing or relying on. It's, in a sense, casting yourself upon. It means, in a sense, taking a risk. You really believe that God loves you, so you commit yourself to him without reservation. You'd never do that if you didn't trust in his love. If you want to analyze everything and work everything out in advance, then you'll never take this step of commitment, of total yielding to God, of putting yourself without reservation in his hands, of relying on him, trusting him to do whatever he wants. No strings attached, no conditions. See, that's how God initially loved you and me. And he brings us to a point where he wants the same kind of response from him. No strings attached, no conditions, no reservations. It's not just knowing. It's believing, in a sense of relying on, committing ourselves to, accepting for real what God says, what the Bible says about God, that God is love. I think there are so many people who've heard sermons about the love of God, who know about it in that way, intellectually, but they've never relied on it. They've never stepped out in faith and said, God, here I am. Take me the way I am. Make me what you want me to be. I lay down no preconditions. I make no reservations. Here it is. This is my response to your love. Your love was unconditional, no strings attached. My response is myself. unconditional, no strings attached. You have me, God. Do what you will with me. I'm yours. That, I believe, is what John means when he says we know and rely on the love that God has for us. It's beyond intellectual reasoning. It takes us beyond our understanding. It takes us into a realm where, in a sense, the understanding begins to protest and says, you're going too far. That's fanaticism. You're going overboard. And so, for that very reason, I believe, in the next verse but one of 1 John chapter 4, John goes on and speaks about fear. In 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. So there comes a point where if we let fear dictate to us, it will hold us back from surrender. We'll reason it out and we'll say the price is too high, the risks are too great. But there's a kind of love that drives out fear, that leaves no room for fear, a love that enables us to make that total surrender, that complete acceptance of all that God is, all that God says, and all that God does, a love that drives out fear and brings us into real unity, communion with God. Now I want to turn to a prayer of the Apostle Paul, which he prays for God's people. And in this prayer, he prays essentially that we may all enter into the experience of this kind of love that I'm talking about. This beautiful prayer of Paul is recorded in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And this is what he says. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, that is God, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a prayer that is. One could spend a month analyzing that prayer. I just have a few moments. But let me point out that there's a culminating point in this prayer of Paul, that we, God's people, may know the love that surpasses knowledge, and that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So it's in knowing this love that we can enter into the fullness of God. How can you know love that surpasses knowledge? Well, I believe the answer is what I've been trying to explain in my talk today. It's by faith. It's by yielding. It's by a response that goes beyond reason or rationalization. It's through faith, through yielding. Stepping out beyond the limits of what seems reasonable, relying on the love of God, casting ourselves upon God's loves, no strings attached, no reservations, no preconditions. I believe that's the response that is required.
You know, this is something I have not always known during my Christian life, and that is that we have to actually take a step of accepting God's love, of believing what he has done in Christ, of going beyond just an intellectual assent, but an acceptance of it. Listen, we've got a resource for you, a free resource that should help you do just exactly that. It's called Complete Salvation, a little booklet from the pen of Derek Prince, and you can have it free of charge. We want to give it to you for listening to the show and to deepen God's work in your life. Call us at 1-800-448-3261 or log on to the website at derekprince.org. Listen, there's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
As 2006 draws to a close, all of us at Derek Prince Ministries want to remind you of two things. First, we want to express once more how much we have appreciated your friendship and partnership over this past year. Your faithfulness has allowed us to continue the work Derek Prince started and helped many people discover the amazing Bible teaching he brought us. Second, we would be remiss if we didn't remind you that there are only a few weeks remaining in this tax year. It's about this time each year, we hear from a lot of friends of Derek Prince Ministries as they make special year-end gifts. They tell us they'd rather see the resources God has given them go into His kingdom rather than into the coffers of the IRS. Put another way, they'd rather render a little less to Caesar and a little more to God. Of course, The real beneficiaries are those touched and changed by God's truth because of your generosity. Take a few moments today to send your special year-end gift. Simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. As you give, please know that through your connection to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, you are a part of something truly amazing. Also know that you have our gratitude. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us online at derekprince.org. Thanks again. And may 2007 be a year of great blessing and fruitfulness for you.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. You've joined us at a great time, a Friday. We're at the end of a great week on the love of God, and Derek has been talking to us about accepting what God's Word says about the love of God that is given to us and extended to us in Christ Jesus. Let's listen.
I'm going to speak about love as God's ultimate motivation, the real reason why God does things. It is His love. The Bible makes this very clear in various places. First of all, I want to speak about God's love for His people, Israel. And I want to turn, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. These are words spoken by Moses to Israel just before they entered the Promised Land. And Moses is telling them what kind of a people God wants them to be. And he also tells them why God wants them to be a special people. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession. That's a tremendous statement. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the earth to be His people. And yet we know through the New Testament that it becomes true individually of every Christian. The Lord has chosen you out of all the people on the earth. Now let's see why the Lord chose Israel. It will help us to understand something important about why the Lord chooses you and me. First of all, Moses explains reasons why the Lord did not choose Israel. Verse 7, the Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. It wasn't because you were great or impressive or mighty. That was not the reason. Never be misled about that. Moses is warning them. Don't ever begin to think that there was something special about you, that you were so strong and mighty that the Lord chose you for that reason. No, the Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. Verse 8, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers, that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So not because, but because. Not because you were great or mighty, but because what? Because the Lord loved you. Why did He love you? Moses never even tries to explain that. And that's true not just of God's people Israel in the Old Testament. It's true of every one of us. Not because we were so tremendous people. Not because we were so clever or so talented or so gifted. But because He loved us. That's the mystery. The unexplained mystery. And then further on in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah develops this theme too, or rather the Lord develops it through the prophet. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Again, we have this same unexplained mystery. Because I love you. God never offers any explanation of why he loves. But he says, because I love you, I'll do everything that I've committed myself to do. I'll manipulate all history to bring my purposes and my promises to you to fulfillment. He doesn't say I'll keep you from suffering or from difficulty. But he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. You will not be burned. Now I want to go beyond God's love for Israel. I want to speak of something yet more wonderful, God's love for the whole world.
You know, this is a really important truth for us to all remember, and that is that God's ultimate motivation in doing anything is love. When we read the Bible and we hear the great Bible stories or hear the truths of Scripture, we can tend to believe that God is about anger or he's about judgment, but ultimately it all is about his love. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Salvation. What does this familiar word really mean? The forgiveness of sins? The ticket to heaven? As wonderful as these definitions are, there is much more to salvation than most believers know. Now, in a powerful little booklet entitled Complete Salvation, Derek Prince reveals how the work Jesus did on the cross made a way for all to experience a great, glorious, and complete salvation. In it, you'll discover what salvation truly is and show you the steps you can take to receive and enjoy all of its benefits, both now and for eternity. To order your copy, Complete Salvation, free and postage paid, simply call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and one of the most important truths I've ever heard Derek talk about is what he's talking about right now, and that is the idea that we have to sometimes choose to believe what the Word of God says regarding God's love. You know, we tend to believe, we tend to think that we just sit back, spread our arms wide, and let God love us. But there's something about the way God describes his love in the Word of God, in the Bible, that we have to actively choose to believe. It's interesting. The biblical progression is you believe first and you experience later. We in the world, in our lives here on this earth, we want to experience first and then we believe. But it's the other way around in Scripture. We believe and then we experience. I want to believe the love of God and then I'll experience it. Let's hear Derek talk about this as he continues on this theme of the love of God.
God's love for the whole world. First of all, I just want to point out to you briefly, out of Scripture, the condition of the world, of the human race, without the love and the grace of God. This is so clearly stated in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's the human race as God sees us, apart from his grace, his mercy, his love. We don't even seek God. We've turned away from him. We're not conscious of him. We're not conscious of our need of him. We've turned our back on him. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who do understand, any who seek God. The answer is, all have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And then we pass from that awful scene to this unexplained mystery of the love of God and to that very familiar verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Remember what the world was like that God gave his Son to win. It was a world that had turned aside, a world that was altogether corrupt, a world in which there was not one person that by his own nature was doing good, a world in which man didn't even seek for God. So every good motivation, every good response of man is prompted only by the love and the grace of God. For a world like that, God gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the mystery behind human history. That's the mystery behind our individual experience. Let me suggest to you today that you should never try to earn the love of God. I'm going to speak about this more fully later. Never try to find out why God loved you. Never look for reasons in yourself, because you'll be disappointed. The more you look, the less you'll find. Just be willing to know and believe. Rely on the love that God has for you. I discovered the love of God in personal experience more than 40 years ago, but I didn't have a real full release because I was always looking for reasons in myself why God should love me or how I could earn his love. Then one day I came to this conclusion: I can't earn it, I don't deserve it, there is no reason for it, I'm just going to believe it.
You know, I had the privilege of pastoring for 21 years before I began to write, speak, and work in politics like I am now. And one of the factors, one of the forces in people's lives that most debilitated them was bitterness. An intense internal, almost coded into their soul, disappointment and disillusionment with what they had received in life. For most people who were not really walking in the things of God, the biggest factor that was keeping them from the fulfillment of God's promises in their life was bitterness. It was a horrible tainting and poisoning of their soul. And you know, the key issue, the thing that was almost always at the very heart of this tendency towards bitterness, was a complete disappointment with the love they had received in their lives. They had been loved by fallen people. I mean, I know we all are, but these folks particularly had been loved by fallen people who were incomplete in their ability to love and to fill their hearts. They, all human beings are, but the people who had loved these individuals who were so bitter had really let them down. And I had to keep telling them, you were made for the perfect love of God. Everyone who loved you in this world was going to be less than what you were made for. But now you can receive the fulfillment, the fulfillment of what you were made for. And that really is the issue. We are creatures made for love. We are creatures made for the fulfillment of the love of God. And we have to trust that God is able and willing to love us fully. We will never understand it. We can't look for reasons in ourselves, as Derek says, because we'll only be disappointed. If we go around thinking that we have to do certain things to get God to love us, we will turn Christianity into a great big list of works. But if we realize that before we were even created, God loved us, sent his Son to die for us, has been waiting for us to acknowledge and receive that love that has been waiting for us, we will live lives of peace and fulfillment. The drivenness, the workaholism, the anger, the angst, the fear, it will all dissipate. And at our core, there will be a satisfaction and a completion that we have been longing for, whether we knew it or not. Listen, there's so much more great stuff to come in this wonderful series on the love of God, but that's all the time we have for now. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Complete Salvation. It's our gift to you, free and postage paid. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And when you call, please consider a special end-of-year gift to Derek Prince Ministries of $25 or more. Your gift will further the reach of Derek Prince Legacy Radio, and you'll receive the tax benefit for this year. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can send your financial support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.